Okay, on the first night of Hanukkah, after we light the one candle or one crucible of oil, so everybody has a custom to sing Haneros Halalu Anu Madlikim. And we can ask a question. The first night of Hanukkah, you're only lighting one candle. If you're only lighting one candle, why are you saying Haneros Halalu in the plural? You should say Haner Hazeh, this candle that I'm lighting. So the shamash is not considered a candle. So the simple answer is that everyone together, if you consider all Jews all over the world, even though each one is lighting one, but together they're lighting many candles. However, I think that we can say an explanation that it goes on each individual person. Each individual person, even though he's only lighting one candle, but we can consider it as if he's lighting many candles. And that's the subject of what I'm going to speak about today. And what's also interesting is that from the second day and on until the end of Hanukkah, the bracha, what's the bracha? Lahadlik ner shel Hanukkah. Here, from the second day and on, we should say lahadlik nero shel Hanukkah, because we just say the singular one ner, and probably the explanation is because you're yotze with one ner. The mitzvah of Hanukkah, the Gemara tells us, is ner ishu besoy, one candle per family. Hamahadrin, those who are mahadir. So they go one candle for each person in the family. Hamahadrin, mina mahadrin, those who even do it more. We have a machlokas beis sham and beis hillel, and we paskin like beis hillel that every day you add on another candle. You go higher and higher from one to eight. Beis sham says you go from eight to one, and we paskin like beis hillel, we go from one to eight. But since you're... There's a machlokas whether 1 to 8 you should only have one menorah, or whether each person lights a separate menorah. That's a difference.
Do some people go from 8 to 1?
No, nobody goes from 8 to 1 except for Beis Shammai. No, so we were saying that that we light the neiros, and yet we only consider it. We say lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. The answer is, because you're yotze with one candle. It's only mahadrin to do with more. So that's why we say lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. But perhaps after we finish today, we can get a deeper understanding in why, if we're lighting many neros, do we only say singular one ner. So again, to make it short, summarize the question. On the first night, we light one candle. We say haneros halalu plural. And from the second day and on, we light many candles, and there we say lahadlik ner shel Chanukah the singular. That's what I'd like to try to explain. So I'd like to do it based on, I think we said this year once before, I'm sure we can use a review. And this year has to do with the whole inyan of the candle, that the pach shemen, the crucible of oil that was found, the Yevonim came into the Beis HaMikdash, and they were metame all the crucibles of oil, and they only found one pach, and it took, we all know the story, that it took another 7 days to produce pure oil, and the one pach shemen lasted for 8 days. So I once heard a very beautiful explanation from Rav Friedler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He said in the name of the Ponovitcher Ravzitzal, after the Second World War, when the Jews in Europe were decimated and destroyed, and everyone thought that it was the end of Jewry, especially in Europe and even throughout the world, so the Ponovitcher Rav made a gathering in England, and at the gathering, right after the war, he said, "Mir zenen noisorim, we are noisorim, we are survivors." And Rav Friedler explained I believe it's, I'm not sure if it's the Ponovitch Rav who's saying this Yisod or a Friedler explaining it. But between both of them, they said the following Yisod. There are two words in Hebrew that seem to mean the same thing. One is the word nosor, and the other is the word nishar. And yet, we know a rule that in Lashon HaKodesh, words that seem to be saying the same thing are not identical. Every word in Hebrew has a special meaning. Sason and simcha, it sounds the same thing. It's happiness. Sason means one thing, simcha means something else. And so many, many examples where words that seem to be the same, we don't have synonyms in Lashon Kodesh, because every word has its unique understanding. So here we have two words that seem to say the leftover, the survivor, nishar and nosar, but they're different. How are they different? So Rav Friedler brought a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, Vaydaber Moshe el Aaron, ve'lelozer ve'lesomer, bonav hanosarim. When Nadav Avihu died, there were two sons that were left over, Elozer and Isamar. And Hashem spoke to Aaron and his two surviving sons. What were the surviving sons called? Noisorim. Says Rashi, Hanoisorim min Amisa. They were left over from death. Melamed sha'af aleihem niknas Amisa. That really Hashem was going to take the lives of Elozer ve'Isamar also, not only Nadav Avihu. V'tfilosei shel Moshe botla machza. And through the tefillah of Moshe, this gzeira, whatever the reason for the gzeira was, but the tefillah of Moshe stopped half. Only Nadav Avihu got killed, but Elozer ve'Isamar survived. So what are Elozer ve'Isamar called? They're called Noisorim, they're left over. So the definition of Noiser, left over, is that you were also part of the gzeira, but you were, for whatever reason, you survived. You were a survivor. We know the term Holocaust survivor. A Holocaust survivor means that that person was in the same city and all his friends and relatives got taken away to Auschwitz and Treblinka, and they unfortunately got killed, and he survived. So the pshat is that really the gzeira was on him also, except for whatever reason he had special schusim, whatever his merit was, but he survived the war. He was part of the gzeira, but he survived, just like here. Elozer ve'Isamar were part of the gzeira, but they survived, and only Nadav Avihu were killed. In the case of Elozer ve'Isamar, it was the tefillah of Moshe that helped them to survive. The same thing we find when you bring a korban mincha. So the kohen takes 3 fingers worth of flour, and that's the kometz, and that he brings on the mizbeach. It burns on the mizbeach, and then the pasuk says v'hanoseres min amincha. He puts his whole palm into the flour. He picks up 3 fingers and he puts that on the mizbeach, and it's a korban mincha. But what about the rest of the flour from which he took this kometz? That's what it's called when the 3 fingers are together. What about the rest of the flour? Oh, the rest of the flour. V'hanoseres min amincha la'aron ulabonav. It belongs to Aaron and his children. They can eat it. Kodesh kadoshim. Me'ishe Hashem. They are holy, holy of holies, from the fires of Hashem. And another pasuk, v'hanoseres mimena, the leftover, yoichlu Aaron ubanav, Aaron and his sons should eat. So it's the same idea over here. The holiness of the mincha is not only what is burnt on the mizbeach, it's also what the kohanim eat. The Chazal have an expression, Mishulchan gavoya kazaku. They merited this mincha from the heavenly table. In other words, this mincha, the whole thing that's in this cup, belongs to Hashem. But Hashem says, you know what? Part will burn on the mizbeach, and part I'm going to give you, Aaron, and your children and your descendants, that you're going to be able to eat the remainder. So, but when you eat the remainder, it's not yours. You're eating my food, Hashem says. Mishulchan gavaya kazachu. You're getting it from Hashem. And that's why the din is, if a man takes, if a kohen takes the leftover flour and he gives it to a woman and he says, Harei at mekudeshes li, under the chuppah, instead of giving her a ring, he gives her flour. And the ring, by the way, only has to be worth a pruta, has to be worth, let's say, a penny. We could buy a gold ring, fine. But if he's very, very poor and all he can afford is a little metal ring, and he gives it, and she accepts it, so she's Mekudesh for as much as for a $1 million ring. Makes no difference. So this man picks up some, the Kohen picks up flour. He puts it on the Mizbech. The remainder, he says, I'm going to use it for Kedushin for my wife, for my future wife, and she accepts it. She's not Mekudesh. She's not. Why? Because it's not his. It belongs to Hashem. Why? Because the Torah used the word noseres. Noseres means you, which are left over, have the same din as what was given on the Mizbeach. Just like what was given on the Mizbeach belongs to Hashem. So what you're eating doesn't belong to you. It's Mishulchan Gavaya. Kazach, you got it from Hashem's table. But it belongs to Hashem. It's not yours. If it's not yours, you cannot use it to be Mekadesh your wife.
But if you're allowed to eat it, it doesn't become yours?
No, right. You have a heter to eat it. You're allowed Hashem. But that's the Chazal. That's what it says. V'hanoseres min ha-mincha la'aron ulvonav. But what's the status of it? Kodesh kodoshim me'ishe Hashem. Hashem's letting you eat the Holy of Holies. This part you have to put on the Mizbeach. And this part you're allowed to eat, but it's not yours. Yeah, oh, yes, I don't think you can't give it to Yisrael. Right. They and their families, their descendants, only they can eat it.
Can their
wives and children eat? I don't know offhand. Truma, they're allowed to eat. Truma, they're allowed to eat. Whether I don't know. I don't want to say. I'm not 100% sure. But maybe it has a higher status than Truma that only they can eat. I'm not sure. But the point is, even when they could eat it, it's not something that belongs to them. It's noseres, it's a remainder from the rest. The rest was holy, belonged to Hashem, so this also belongs to Hashem. Oh, so we have defined the word noser. Noser means you're a part of something bigger than you, and you're left over. And you have the same, whatever the law is concerning the big part, that's the same with you, the remainder. But now we have the other word, nishar. Where do we find the word nishar? It says by Edim Zoymimim. Does anybody know what Edim Zoymimim is? Edim Zoymimim is when two witnesses say that Reuven killed Shimon, and then two other witnesses come and say, no, how could you say, maybe Reuven killed Shimon, but you're not the witnesses. Why? Because you were not in New York at that time. You were with us at the same time in Los Angeles, so you couldn't have seen Reuven kill Shimon. So the din is that you do to the Edim Zomimim what he wanted to do to his friend. What did he want to do to his friend? To kill him. Because based on their testimony, Reuven is going to get killed for killing Shimon. So now that punishment goes to the two Edim. What does the Pasuk say? V'hanishorim, not nosorim, nishorim, Yishmu v'yirov v'lo yasif v'lasas oid kadover ra'azeh. Those Jews who are sitting around and watching as the Edom Zoymim get killed, those leftover Jews should hear and see, and they shouldn't do such a bad thing again. So why are they called Nisharim? Because they weren't part of the group of Edom that was testifying falsely that Reuven killed Shimon. So they have no connection to those two witnesses. They're not part of the group. Yeah. Let's say if there would be four witnesses and Hashem would say two have to get killed and two not. So the two not are no sorim. But now, no, there were two false witnesses. And there were, in fact, we're saying that they were not the witnesses. So they weren't even there in New York to see it. So the other people who are watching and are not getting killed, they're not Nosar, they're Nishar. Nishar means that they're not part of the Edim Zomimim. They're not part of that group. That's the difference. Here we have two similar words, but they mean a totally different thing. Noser means I'm part of the group, I'm left over. Nishar means I'm not part of that group. So now, this is what the Panovicharov was saying. We who survived World War II, that's what he said to the group in England after the war, we are not Nisharim, we are Noisarim. Because the Gzeir of Hitler Yimach Shemoy was on us also, was on everybody, was the final solution of the Jewish people. What Hitler Yimach Shemoy, if he would have had his way, would have killed out every single Jew in the entire world, including America. And this is, there's a story, now I've heard others say that this story did not happen with Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yinkom Damav, but it's written in the Sefer, in the introduction to Rav Elchanan Wasserman's Sefer, Kovet Shurim, and if maybe he didn't say it, maybe somebody else said it, whoever said it, but the thought is a legitimate thought. What was he alleged to have said, Rav Elchanan Wasserman? He said when they were taking him out to be killed, he was shot. So he said to the Jews who were with him, and I'm going to say it in Yiddish and translate it in English. This is the thoughts that we have to have now as we're facing getting killed. They learned the halachas of Kiddush Hashem, the halachas in the Rambam of how to sanctify your life for Hashem. And then they said, Darfen mir in Zinnenhoven, we have to have in mind, as mir velen sein bessere korbonois, we will be better sacrifices. Oid mir velen tshuvaton, if we do tshuva now, if we repent. Velen mir upratavin, we will save unser Amerikaner Brüder und Schwester, our American brothers and sisters. So in other words, what's Rav Elchanan Wasserman saying? That the Jews in America are part of this gzeirah that we're going through also. But if we have the right kavana, maybe at least we could save them. So we're going to get killed, Rachman al-Islan, but at least they will be survivors. What kind of survivors? They're going to be Noisarim. They're part of our group. The gzeira of the final solution of the Jewish people is on them also, but they will have our zchus that they will get saved. Now, a person can ask, what's the difference? Okay, very nice. You explained what Noiser is, what Nisher is, but what's the difference? Bottom line, they're left over, they're survivors. So what's the difference if I'm a survivor, I'm called a Nishar, I'm called a Noiser? What difference does it make?
It
makes a very big difference. The difference is because if you're a Noiser and you were part of the group and now you're the only one left, you feel upon yourself a responsibility. I have to make up what the rest of the group that's not here anymore. If you're a Nishar, I have nothing to do with the group. So the Adam Zoyman, I have nothing to do with them. So if they get killed, that doesn't mean that I have anything to do. I'm a separate from them. I have nothing to do with them. But if I was part of the group and the Gzeira was on me also, and just I survived, so if I just survived, but I have to replenish that which was lost that I was a part of. I'm not just something by myself. I'm part of a bigger picture than myself. I have to make it up. That is the difference between the two. So that's what the message of the Panovicharov was after the war. And if anybody tried to make up and successfully made up great portions of Klal Yisrael was the Panovicharov, what he accomplished in the Panovichar Yeshiva, the world-famous Panovichar Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. So this was the message that Rav Panovicharov said to the Jews in England after the war. We're not Nisharim, we're Noisarim. And if we're Noisarim, we have to make up what the loss was. This is what I heard at a Panovicharov Yeshiva dinner when Rav Friedler, if I remember correctly, was the guest of honor. And these were the words that he said. And at the time, I was together with Rav Friedler. We had a kollel in Muncie. I ran the kollel and Rav Friedler gave the shiurim there. And we had a Chanukah mesiba, like we're having now. There, I think we had donuts. Here we have vegetables in front of us. But I said, I added something to what he said, and he said he accepted it. He felt it was very proper. So I added the following, that we find in the epic struggle in Parshas Vayishlach between the Tsar Shel Esav and Yaakov Avinu. So the pasuk says, Vayar ki lo yuchaloi. The Tsar Shel Esav, who is the Yetzer Hara, is the Malach HaMavis, the Satan, this prince of Esav saw that he can't beat Yaakov. So it shows us that he thought he could beat Yaakov. He discovered, I cannot beat him. The question is, what made the Tsar Shel Esav think that he could beat Yaakov? And then he realized, no, he can't. They were fighting, but what? There was something that made him think, I'm going to win. That something is, I believe, is in the following pasuk. Yaakov said, "I'm dividing the Jews up into. I'm dividing my family up into two parts." And he said the following: "Im yavoi Esav el machne ha'achas. If Esav comes to one camp, viko, and he will hit that camp, v'ha'yo hamachane." Hanishar Lepleita. Then the machane that will be remaining, that will survive, I'm going to split him up. So he can't fight with, he's only going to fight with one camp. The other camp is far away. He's going to fight with one. Meanwhile, the other camp will be able to survive. The Ramban says that this pasuk, we know we have a famous rule, Maisa Ava Simen Labanim, that what happens to the fathers is a simen to the children. It's a siman to us. This is a description of what's going to happen to the Jews at the end of time. That there will never be the power of one king to destroy all of the Jewish people. And that's what we saw in Europe. Because even though, unfortunately, the Jews in Europe perished, but there were leftover Jews in Eretz Yisrael, in Australia, in South America, in North America, Canada, United States. It wasn't in the power of one king, one dictator, one Russia to destroy the whole. Hashem spread us all over the world so that if one part of the Bnei Yisrael gets destroyed, there's still the other part that's going to survive. So, okay, but the Satan said, listen to the words that Yaakov used. Hoya machna nishar lepleita. They're going to be saved, but what is the attitude that they're going to have to all this? Nishar. The Satan said, if the attitude of Yaakov is nishar, then I could beat him. If he doesn't feel that he has to make up the loss of the other part, if he feels that the machne that's going to survive has nothing to do with the other part, then I will eventually beat him. And then Yaakov himself realized this. And what did Yaakov say? The pasuk says, Vayivaser Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov remained alone. What word is the pasuk using? Vayivaser, that's noisar. Yaakov realized he had made a mistake. If a Jew goes with the nishar mentality, that's the end of the Jewish people. Yaakov realized this, and then Yaakov remained alone. How? By yivaser, noisar. I have to make up. If there's going to be a loss to one half of the Jewish people, then the other half of the Jewish people have to make it up. And Baruch Hashem, in America, we've made it up a lot. The learning in yeshiva is tremendous. We have, as the Pew Report has told us, we of course have a big job to do to bring back the assimilated and unaffiliated Jews. But we have built tremendous Torah, which people never thought would happen here in America. So we were in the category of Vayivoser, Noisar. So then, although the Satan thought that he's going to destroy Yaakov, as the Beis Halevi says, Yaakov Avinu prayed, Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav. Why do you have to tell me that my brother is Esav? We know, Yaakov's brother. Either it should have said my brother, and we know it's Esav, or say Esav, and we know Esav's Yaakov's brother. Why did Yaakov use miyad ochi miyad Esav? So the Beis Halevi says, because Esav knows he could destroy us in two ways. One is Esav with his sword. The other is he acts like a brother. Like you have Iran today. The previous head of Iran was he's going to kill us with the sword. And this one looks, he's smiling. He's a new ruler, and he smiles at everybody. But both ways, their mission is to kill, to destroy. So Esav can kill with the sword, or Esav could kill by, brotherly love that can also assimilate and destroy the Jewish people. The only way that we will survive is if we are noiser, vayivoser Yaakov levadi. When Yaakov took the mentality of noiser, then he won over the Satan. Then vayar kilo yocholoi, the Satan saw that he cannot defeat Yaakov. Now, a person who survives as a noser, not as a nisher, and he knows that he has to make up the loss, he gets a special title. You know what his title is? Shoshana. As we have in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Kishoshana ben achochim kein rayasi ben abonais. Just like a rose is amongst the thorns, so is my beloved amongst the daughters. Rashi explains, Kishoshana ben achochim sheminak v'noisa. The thorns, what do they do to the rose? They make holes in the rose. But the rose is not hurt by those pricks to it, and it stands in its beauty and in its redness after all the pricks that the thorns do to it. The daughters try to persuade it and seduce it. Lirdoif achreim, that the Jews should follow the goyim. Liznois kemoisim achre Elohim acherim, to follow other gods. Vehi omedes bemunasa, and the Jewish people remain with their faith. So the description of a Jew remaining with his faith, although he's pricked by the goyim, by the thorns, that is a shoshana. In the time of the Chashmonaim, the Yevonim also tried through their philosophy to take away, and they were successful. Unfortunately, many Jews went away from Hashem's derech and followed the Hellenists. But the B'nai Chashmonai, they cried out, Mi Lashem Eli, whoever believes in Hashem, follow me. They understood that the only way the Jewish people would survive in their time is if they are Noisarim. If they're just going to be interested in Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, Chashmonai Uvanov, just him and his children by themselves, then the Jewish people is doomed to destruction. It was only when the Chashmonaim understood that we have to be Noisarim, we have to make up for any hole, any prick, we have to make it up, we have to fill in the hole, that we remain with the redness and the beauty of the flower. So just like the Pach Shemen, there was one Pach left. So Hashem, through a Ness, but made that this Pach should be a what? A Nosar, not a Nishar. If the Pach would have been a Nishar, then it wouldn't have lasted for 8 days until they got new oil. It's only because in the Pach was the concept that the Pach has to be a Nosar. We have to make up for the 7 days that we're not going to have any oil. So now, when we say the moisur, in the moisur it says, Uminosar kankanim nase neis lashoshanim. Uminosar kankanim nase neis lashoshanim. What are the Chashmonaim called now? They're called Shoshanim. Because they didn't let what the Yevonim made holes in them. They didn't let that defeat them. They said, we have to rebuild the Jewish people. We have to fight the Yevonim spiritually and physically to rebuild the Jewish people. And where did they get the idea from? From the Noisar Kankanim. That philosophy that we have to make up what's lost, Umi Noisar Kankanim, from the leftover of the crucibles of oil, Nasen Neis Lashoshanim. The Chashmonaim practiced
in the war exactly what the crucible of oil showed, demonstrated by replenishing itself for 8 days. Now, b'nei vina. There's a famous question of the Beis Yosef, which there's more answers to this question probably than any other question in Talmudic literature. Why is Hanukkah 8 days? The Nes was only 7 days. So one answer the Pri Chodesh gives is because the first day was for the miracle of winning. My son-in-law said there's a cheshbon, there were like billions of Yevonim, and the Chashmonoim were a few people who defeated miraculously billions of Yevonim. So that's why we have Hanukkah 8 days, 7 days for the candles, and the first day is the Netzachon over the Yevonim. But the question is, good, have Hanukkah 8 days, but only have candles for 7 days. The first day, what do you need a candle for? The answer is that this candle represents what was the whole victory of the Chashmonoim over the Yevonim. Ner mitzvah v'Torah or. The Ner represents Torah and wisdom. So this candle that we're lighting the first night, this describes what the victory was over the Yevonim. And what this candle also demonstrates is Yevonim nikmetsu alai, the Yevonim gathered against me, v'timu kol hashmanim, they were metame all the shmanim, uminoisar kankanim, Nasa Nesla Shoshanim, B'nei Vina, Chazal, who were intelligent, B'nei Vina, how many days did they make Hanukkah? Yemei Shmoina, Kavu Shiru Nanim. They made a holiday of singing and festivities of 8 days, not just 7 days. It wasn't just the 7 days that the one candle lasted longer till eight, but the first day of the candle, that itself was a Nes, what the victory was over Yavan, and that the candle had in it the concept of Noisar. We're going to make up the loss of 7 days. We're not going to say Nishar. We're going to be a Noisar. So the Chazal said, we can't make Hanukkah just for the 7 days of the extra Nes of the menorah. We have to make it for the first day. And the first day, really, according to this, is the main day. Because the first day was when the candle demonstrated the philosophy, the only way we could defeat the enemy is if we know we're part of the Gzeira. This candle was part of what Gzeira? There was a Gzeira that Timu Kol Hashmanim, that all the oil should become Tomei. One got saved. This one said, if I got saved, it's not enough that I got saved. I have to make sure to make up the other 7 days when there is no oil. That's the philosophy of Neusser. That's why we light the first night a candle, to show Torah and to show that we are a Neusser. And that's the only way that we can defeat our enemies. So it fits in the Lushan of the Pizmon, the poem that we sing after lighting the candles, fits in beautifully. Uminoisar kankanim nasa nesla shoshanim, they're shoshana. B'nei vina, yemei shmoina, 8 days, not 7 days. Kavu shirunanim. So I believe that this now will answer the questions that we started with. We started the question, the first night, why do we say Neiros Halolu? It should be Ner Zeh. The answer is the first night, even though we're only lighting one, but in that one is the other eight. That's the whole reason why we light that one, because that one is the Nosor who realized that I have to make up for the other seven. So it's one light, but it's one light, which is really many lights. And the rest of Hanukkah, when we light eight candles, let's say on the eighth day, it's all, we can make a bracha also, Lahadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah. And if we light one candle, here's the question. When I light, let's say I light only one candle, and I'm yotze with that candle, is that candle, let's say on the eighth day, am I lighting this candle because this is the eighth day that was added on one candle to the other seven? Or when I'm lighting the eighth day, that candle, I'm saying this candle represents the first day. This question struck me this year. If I light one candle, what's the one candle representing? The eighth day? Or is the one candle representing the first day, that this first day is still lasting till this eighth day? So according to what we're saying, I would like to suggest that it's the second way. In other words, every night of Hanukkah, we are commemorating, and that's why we say, Lahadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah. We're commemorating the importance of that first one that was a nicer. Because if that first one had a Nishar attitude, there would not be any second or seventh or eighth day of Hanukkah. It would be all gone after the first day. So every night of Hanukkah, we say, tonight is another night where we remember the first day. Seventh day is another night where we remember the first day. Eighth day is the last night that we remember Lahadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah. Not the eighth day. On the eighth day, we're remembering, don't forget the Iker, where it came from. It came from the first night of Hanukkah. And Be'emes, Reb Samson Fol Hirsch, Zitzal, says that this is the whole message of Hanukkah. The message of Hanukkah is that you should put it on the window outside. So he says, first of all, the Ner of Hanukkah represents Yahadus, Yiddishkeit, Judaism. That first of all, it has to affect the whole family. Then it has to affect each individual. HaMahadrin, they do for each individual. HaMahadrin, MinaMahadrin, they go up. You're not satisfied staying on one level. You go higher and higher. And then he says, I'm not just satisfied for my family. I have to put it on the window or the door to shine out in the street. I have to affect the rest of the world as well. That's the message of Hanukkah. You have to affect others. Don't be a nishar, be a nosar. You have to affect others. You have to make up the loss that Klal Yisrael had. As the Ponovitch Rav said, we are nosarim. We have to make up what was lost. So that when I put my Hanukkah menorah on the window or by the door to shine out, I want to affect the Yiddishkeit on my neighbor who may not be religious. I have to try to, it's only in a sakana, in a time of danger, then we leave it on our table. We're satisfied just my own family is religious. If there's a danger for me to affect somebody on the street, okay, then I'll be satisfied myself. But otherwise, I have to make it, I have to be mashpia on the street. And I said this at, not to such length, but I said this at a family chagiga that we had for Hanukkah. And I just ended off with, and as I said that this whole thing brings the idea of a family, it pertains to every family, the idea of all for one and one for all. It's Ner, it's Neros. The Neros come from the Ner, and the Ner is the one who brought the Neros. A beautiful family is one where everyone is trying to help the other, and whatever the other one's missing, this one tries to fill up to help the other. And that's what I said. I heard a very nice pshat from Rav Zelig Berkowitz Shlita, Rav and Munsi. He said, Hine matoiv umanoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, how good it is and how pleasant and beautiful it is when brothers sit together. So he says there are many things in life which are tov, but they're not noim. For example, eating donuts. We know how good they are. It's geschmack, tastes delicious, especially the custard donuts, jelly-filled donuts, delicious. It's tov, but it's not healthy for you. It's not good. Too much carbohydrates and cholesterol and everything else. Nothing nutritional in it. So it's tov, but it's not noim. Then you have things it's noim. It's noim. It's pleasant. It's good. Geschmack. It's not tov. Then you have other things. A person takes bitter medicine. So it's not noim. It tastes horrible. But it's tov. It's going to make a person has antibiotics, they have an infection. This cures them from their infection.
But
hine ma toiv uma noim, Sheves achim gemiachad, in a family or friends, when everybody lives together in harmony, everybody helps the other, then it's both, it's toiv and it's noyim. And we should be zoicha that this spirit of toiv and noyim should resonate throughout Klal Yisrael, and we should have only besuras tovos. Ad bias Mashiach tzikeinu meher v'yameinu. Amen.
Amen.